Coming up on TMS, charity and mugs, mugs and charity.
Boulder has a problem.
How much does that plane hold?
Sesame Street is not down with the Happy Time Murders.
A wolf-like being dies in Montana.
Ooh, major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Go on, why resist it?
Sugar-free Jell-O gelatin. Give in, give in, give in to the taste. Cool and refreshing, deliciously tempting.
It tastes like jello to me.
How can it be? Give in, give in, give in to the taste.
It's made with NutraSweet.
Sesame seed bun.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Donde está la biblioteca?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream for May 28th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi.
Hi. Boy, what if I don't want to give in to the taste? My gosh, the pressure telling me to give in to the taste.
Give in. Give in. It's really catchy. It makes you want to do
it.
It's
catchy, but it's, you know, maybe no means no. Okay?
Yeah.
Maybe I don't want to give in and quit your pressuring me.
Yeah. Maybe look up the word consent. And that's all we'll say about that. Hey, we're back, everybody. The month is just about burned. We got a couple more days is all. What do we have till do we have 30 days
Thursday,
this month?
Thursday is the last day. 31 days.
31
in,
days.
May.
Okay. That sounds good.
Friday will be the first day of June.
Oh, Friday's first day of June, you say?
Friday is the first day of June.
All right, well, that's fantastic. I look forward to that with great attention and admiration. But we've decided that because it's Memorial Day, that doesn't mean we should take the show off. No, no, no.
No.
In fact, there should be one. So that's what this is. So
yeah, a lot of people don't get to listen live because they're working and their work forbids them to have any joy or fun in their life. Mm-hmm. So This is the day that those shackles have been broken.
Yeah,
and you can watch live. Welcome, live watchers.
Yeah, throw off the shackles of your shit jobs and and welcome here.
Power to the people.
Hey, I got it. So there's a couple things. And Brian's got a great story for us. We'll get to that in a second. I've been dying to hear this because since last night I got a text from Brian that was very tantalizing. And he says, just, you know, trust me, I got a story for tomorrow. I'm like, okay. I think I can sleep tonight. I think I can make it through until I hear this story. Before we get to that, I'm just going to give you a couple of quick PSAs and then we'll get into the show proper. Mm-hmm. As you know, today is episode 494. That puts us 6 episodes away from the 1500 mark.
I think you said 494. You mean 1494.
I thought I said 1494.
Maybe you said 1000 and I didn't hear the 1000
part.
Yeah.
So it's 1494.
I was taking a drink of coffee at the time and
it'll get you every time.
The liquid traveling through my body, coursing through my veins.
Exactly. So 1500 is coming up and it will be here. I don't know what day that'll be. What is that? Next week sometime?
Six episodes from now.
Be like Monday?
Would be Tuesday, I think.
Next Tuesday. Okay.
Or Monday.
Maybe Monday. Because if you count PM, which we do, that would be Monday, I think.
98.99. Yes.
All right.
So if we don't miss a day, then yes.
Here's the plan. In the continuing line of collectible TMS mugs, morning coffee, or whatever you want to put in them, mugs. Mm-hmm. We are adding one more to the mix, to the brink there. Here, Chad, you can get a preview of it. That's what it's going to look like. They're in a similar style and design of mug because we're trying to make them collectible so they look good on a shelf somewhere. Mm-hmm. It is the Morning Stream 1500 plus episodes commemorative mug. If you already have one of the 500 or the 1000, then this is one to get. Every 500 episodes or so, we toss one in there.
That's right.
And it's a cool thing, and I'm very excited to have one of these myself. So I don't know if Dave got it up on the store. Let me just double check real quick, because it was supposed to be up today or tomorrow. Store. Hold on. I'm going to make a store here.
Don't do it, Kat. Don't do it.
Don't you dare do it, Kat. It's not there yet, but it will be soon, and when it does, you'll be able to get your hands on it. We'll make sure to let you guys know, but exciting goings on in the world of muggery. Get mugged is what we're saying.
Get mugged.
And then
put our mugs on your mouth.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, then the other thing is this Saturday marks the third anniversary of the Heroes Charity Brawl, hosted by myself and nine other rad podcasters who all work in the Heroes of the Storm podcasting community. That includes my co-hosts, of course, along with a whole bunch of other shows. We have two girls this year. Two girls. Can you guys believe it? There's going to be two women there.
What?
I know. We're diversifying in a serious way.
There are officially more female characters in Heroes than there are female players.
Oh, by far there are more. Well, I don't know about players, but definitely more than our podcast seem to show.
Right.
But anyway, this is happening awesome. This weekend. We're doing another charity run. It's for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. We do it every year for the last 3 years, and we'd like to break last year's goals, which broke the year before that's goals. See if we can't even one-up ourselves this time. So that's June 2nd. That's, again, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. What you want to do is head on over to heroescharitybrawl.net. You can already donate, in fact, if you wanted to do it early, if you can't be there or something. But it'll be on June 2nd at twitch.tv/frogpants, right here where you're watching us live now, chat room, or those at home, that's where you would see it. 3 p.m. Mountain, that's 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern. And we're very excited about it. The third annual Heroes Charity Brawl. And there'll probably be some giveaways, and there's a chance a Blizzard person will come by, and it's going to be great. So we're looking forward to that.
Awesome.
All right. That'll enough about my stuff. Let's get straight to Brian's story that I have been pining for all night. I hope I have not set myself up for a disappointment.
I hope not, too. I hope, hope it lives up to it. So, as you know, I've been training for the MS-150, the bike race that is taking place on June 23rd and 24th. 75 miles each way, although the I may have talked about this already, but the paths or the trails have come out and they said, all right, well, we've got one that's 45 miles, one that's 61 miles, one that's 66, and then one that's 74.5 or something.
Sure.
There's really not a 75 mile path, by the way. It's kind of funny. I guess you just kind of go half a mile or a quarter of a mile past the event.
And
then bike a quarter of a mile back.
That's a little weird, isn't it?
It is a little weird, but...
I mean, I think it'd be the other way around normally. Like, you'd have a little extra space.
You'd have one that's a little bit extra, yeah.
Yeah.
The ones on the way back, there's no 45 miler on the way back. You are, like, 68, I think, is the lowest one back. Because you take a different path on the way back.
Okay.
So, so I'm really looking forward to this. And I'm doing, you know, I'm training every day. Like, now... The rubber meets the road, the ducks are flying. I don't know what the phrase is, but anyway, I'm going out on a daily basis and doing rides. And on weekends, I have the time to do longer rides. So on Saturday, Tina and I did a 21 mile ride because she's not training for this. She's not doing it. She's just kind of like, well, all right, I'll go with you. And
sure.
This is her sixth time bike riding this year, and she barely, because of the cancer stuff, barely rode her bike at all last year. So it's like she's you know, she's a trooper for putting up 21 miles on the clock. The next morning, yesterday morning, I got up at 6:30 and got out on the bike at 8 while it was nice and still cool outside, and did another 25 miles.
Jeez, you're committed.
I'm committed. I'm trying to really get through this.
Right.
But yesterday I did something. I did something a little bit different. Now, Saturday night, we went and saw Solo with Uncle George and Aunt Barb, which is excellent. Highly recommend it.
All right.
And after the movie, we went and grabbed dinner, and we were talking about, like, you know, I said, all right, well, you know, tell me some things to kind of help me. They've been doing this ride for years, and they know the ins and outs, and they've been, you know, they're pros at this. And this being my first time, they wanted to kind of give me some guidance, and they're describing all the hills and saying, well, yeah, the first day it's going to kind of nice be, you know, level for a long part of it. And then you're going to get a few hills and like, okay, cool. And I tell them I've been practicing and doing 20 and 25 mile rides.
Sure.
They're like, all right, cool. Now, are you wearing anything under your bike shorts? I'm like, well, yeah, just underwear. And they're like, yeah, no, you're not supposed to wear underwear under your bike shorts.
Wait, what? You're supposed to just commando
you're
those?
You're supposed to go commando. This is something I just learned.
What?
That you're not supposed to wear underwear because it creates extra friction, extra heat,
yeah,
discomfort. So here's the deal now. When you're bike riding or when you're driving and you see some cyclists on the side of the road, you know, just plugging along and they've got their matching Cinzano t-shirt or their, you know, bike shirts.
Yeah.
And their helmets and their glasses and their gloves and all that stuff. And they look over and they do this sort of thing. Just keep in mind, there's only one little thin piece of Lycra separating them from the rest of the...
oh, my.
From the rest of
freaking
the world.
Del Boca Vista Stage 2. So tell me this.
Yes.
That's... I've never known this. So when I've been hanging out with somebody who's about to go biking, because I've done that, where they're like, all their gear on, they're ready to go. They're like, all right, well, we got to get out of here. He's standing there, and all that's between me and him is the thinnest piece of Lycra possible.
That's exactly right. 100% correct.
Great. Great. So now you know what you got to do. You got to
bike shorts have padding. So, but keep in mind that padding really is there to kind of protect the taint. It's like kind of it's not padding. It's not like a jock strap where that's coming up over the business.
Yeah.
It's kind of underneath. It's the undercarriage basically.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. That's great.
So well, that's the first shoe to drop.
Okay.
Like, okay. All right. Well, no, I'm not doing that. So they also said, okay, so, you know, next time you ride without underwear. I'm like, okay, cool. Which I did yesterday morning.
Yeah.
They said, the second thing you probably want to pick up is some chamois butter. I'm like, oh, chamois butter. Okay. And I'm thinking, you know, something to kind of keep the wheel lubricated or keep the, you know, like the pedals from a lot of friction and everything.
I don't want to know what this is. I know it's coming. I can feel it. All right.
What is it? Before you slip that those bike shorts on, covering up the altogether, the birthday suit,
yeah,
you reach in, you grab a big thing of this chamois butter, which the European cyclists totally swear by, and just smush it all over the inside padding of your bike shorts.
Okay. And it does.
And then
what?
You pull it up and squish. And it immediately feels like you've sharted.
So is it? It's to lube up the movement.
That area, right? So you don't get chafing or any sort of rubbing or blisters. I think that's a bad place to get a blister, let me tell you.
Everything on Amazon says that chamois butter is for... Oh, here's chafe cream. Because they have some that says chamois honey butter, chamois garlic butter. Like to put on food.
I would maybe recommend you don't get the garlic. Maybe the pumpkin spice. I don't know. But,
you know what? Here it is. B-U-T-T apostrophe R is how they're spelling
it. B-U-T-T apostrophe R. That's exactly
That's
right.
why. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, don't put the garlic stuff on your crotch is what I'm saying. There you go, guys. Look at that. Chamois butter.
That's right. Chamois. But fantastic. Of course, you know, there's that first initial... That first initial pulling up the bike shorts and feeling that kind of like you just sat in goo feeling.
Yeah.
I will say this. Did the 25-mile ride yesterday with that.
Yeah.
And to cool off, all I'd pretty much have to do is just kind of stand up on my pedals, pull my butt off the seat, let the air kind of flow through.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I it felt very comfortable. felt really good.
There's a kind. Okay, I have an alternative for you on Amazon.
Sure.
Amazon's Choice. You know the Amazon Choice label that means it's like their favorite or whatever.
Sure.
Gooch Guard.
Gooch Guard.
Gooch Guard chamois cream, lubricant barrier to prevent friction and chafing. Unisex formula for men and women. No. What? Oh, no petroleum or common allergens. Safe in all natural ingredients. Soothing formula for a more comfortable ride. Gooch Guard.
Arnold Drummond needed the Gooch Guard, didn't he?
Yeah, he totally did. The Gooch.
Gooch.
This is a stupid word. All right, well, look at you learning stuff. You're just like your Tour de France is next, man. He's going to be up there with the Gooch on. Are you telling me that when I see one of these huge things where there's a million bikes at the starting line, they're all wearing this goop on their crotch?
They might be, they might not be. I mean, it's not like a requirement. Not everybody knows about this or does it, but man, I'm I'm a convert, at least for the longer rides. If I'm doing 8 miles or 10 miles or something, right, I'm probably not going to, I'm going to still freeball it, but I'm probably not going to put this stuff on.
You know what you should do? Here's what you should do. If you're going to do only 8 miles,
yeah,
you put a single M&M in your pants.
I saw that coming.
Brian knew where I was going with it.
I knew where you're going. I thought you were going to probably tell me to wear mom's spaghetti in your pants.
That's good too. That is also good.
Yes. There's a competitor to the Gooch Guard and to the chamois butter called Enzo's Buttonhole Chamois Cream.
Great. Buttonhole.
Buttonhole. We know what's that, going on.
Yeah, that's... may as well call it balloon knot.
Chocolate starfish protector. chode lube.
Chode goop. Anyway, this is amazing. Amazing stuff, dude. I'm so glad you're doing this.
Before we pull in Dunaway, I've got to show you something I picked up. I'm really, really excited about this. So Toys R Us, all yep. going out of business, right?
Yep. I was going to ask if you tried one of these out, by the way. I have not. I was going to ask you if you've ever gone to one of these, because since this liquidation started, I haven't been near one, so...
Well, keep in mind that the first thing, so a company comes in, whenever one of these businesses is going out of business, a company will come in, they'll jack up the prices first, so that those first couple weeks of like 20% off everything must go is really kind of taking it back to regular prices.
Okay, I get that.
However, the Toys R Us it's near Nicole and Mark. She's been going like crazy, and she was actually the one who told me about this. She's been going, and they're down to 50%. Probably they'll hit 60% in the next couple weeks. Mm. And she said, "Well, Brian, there's something there that you may want to pick up while it's cheap." And so I did it. I broke down, Scott.
Let's see it.
I broke down.
Oh, we got the Captain America shield.
I have the Captain America shield.
Made of vibranium.
That's right.
Look at
Come
that.
Come at me, bro.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
This thing is heavy, too. Like, this is...
That looks so cool. What does the thing like that run on sale?
Normally, like $400, $359 or $369 or something.
Yeah?
And I got it for $170 and change.
Worth it.
Totally worth it.
Yeah.
Leather straps.
Yeah.
There's nothing that'll let me put it on my back.
Yeah, no.
Otherwise, I'll figure out how to wear it for the bike ride. But
yeah, oh, that's amazing! You're riding around on your bike like that. But can you just like what you need to do is like he does, where you can just quickly go shunk into the back and then walk away.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cool. Yeah. All right, I'm jealous.
So look for Toys R Us near you.
I'm jealous.
And yeah, this is so cool, totally cool. I have to figure out a way to. I want to put it right here on the wall. We've got a space right there.
Mm.
Or and I have to figure out a way to hang this thing up.
No, it's a great idea. Stick that up on the wall. I love that. All right. Well, I'm officially jealous. And also, as you're a lifelong Marvel guy, you deserve
a
cool Marvel thing, you know?
It is really, you know, as soon as Nicole sent me the text saying they have these and they're marked down and they've got like a dozen in the back.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
You took a little tiny poop and then went and picked it up.
Took a little tiny poop. And then, yeah. And then I waited till I got down to 50%. I said, I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting anymore. We were down like a block away seeing the movie. I'm like, I'm just going to go to that Toys R Us and get one.
Yeah. No, this is the right thing to do and the tasty way to do it. All right. Well done. Fantastic. Let's get Dunaway all up in
yes.
it.
Yes.
He has decided to join us, even though it's his holiday too.
Well, he should, right? It's kind of his job.
I feel like...
We don't give him a day off.
Yeah, all that we pay him, oh, my camera just went bazonkers. Let's fix that.
Mine did, too. Oh, my.
Oh, you're back now. Are you back?
Okay. I think I'm back.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like mine.
Here's what I know. Time to stump Dunaway. And he's on the line with us right now. Not stump Dunaway. It's a Babel Royale. Hi, Brian.
Get it right.
I know.
Jeez, how long have you been doing this?
Keep it
first,
together.
First, you called me Daryl for 6 months.
Yeah, it's about
how
long.
Now you can't even get the Babel Royale right.
This is how long it takes. It takes me a little while to reset. And
you are forgiven because today is Memorial Day, and I remembered that's how you were.
Yeah,
you're
remembering it. Sure, why not? I remember. Hey,
I remember.
Let's get into it. We feel like we just talked to you because we just did Film Sack. And by the way, if you're not listening to Film Sack, you should definitely check out our most recent episode. Yeah, it was really good. We did.
Scott went in kicking and screaming. I don't want to do Lethal Weapon 3. I don't want to do it.
I'm too old for this poop.
Yeah, I really didn't want to do it. I kind of Lethal Weapon movies just don't do it for me normally. I think being that grumpy about it was good because my expectations were exceeded a little bit.
Yes.
And it was better than I thought. A lot of people have written me and said, dude, how can you possibly like 3? It's the worst of the 4. And I'm like, I'm just saying I went in expecting utter garbage and came out going, oh, it's all right. It was okay. I mean, you know, whatever. 1990, whatever it was fine. But Dunaway, it's your chance to see if we can help somebody win something. Yeah, I'm going to add. Go ahead.
Mel Gibson spends 2/3 of the movie eating dog biscuits like he's some sort of space alien who's never heard of dog biscuits being for dogs.
Right.
Right.
Like, no, yeah, he does play this. He plays like he doesn't know anything at all. Like, yes, that's the thing that throws me, because it's not the angsty, angry one from the first one. It's not even the, okay, now I'm kind of cool with who I am from the second one. Now it's kind of like just you've got Alf in your house.
Oh, dog biscuits will help me
quit
smoking?
Stop trying to eat my cat.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Hagenator.
Hello, Hagenator. I've been calling you Hagenator for the longest time. Now I know the right way to say it. Hagenator.
Yeah, last name's Hager, so.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
that's Hagar. He can drive 55. Wait, that's Hagar. Never mind.
Yeah.
Or Hagar.
Hagenator, where do you hail from?
Just outside St. Louis.
Oh, St. Louis.
Missouri.
Nothing wrong with that. That's a fine town.
What does the term hail from mean?
Hail? I grew up there.
Well, no, we know what it means.
Ice from
but
the
like,
sky.
Well, I know what it means, but what's its
what's
origin?
What's the etymology, right? Like, what is, what's where, the origin? Why hail?
I don't know.
I hail a cab, but I don't understand
I
why
the,
I'm hailing
I think that
from
is
here.
The, right, it's like,
I'm
it's, not the,
here!
It's not the precipitation kind of hail. It's the hail to the chief kind of hail.
Yeah, something like that. Well, I'm glad you're hailing from there, and it's good to have you on the show. Brian Ibbett is going to explain how this works, and we will play a little game and try to win you some prizes. Brian, take it away.
That's right. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, and they're going to go back and forth with answers to that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win is going to go to the other player. Your job, Hagenator, is to predict who's going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for a massive Steam prize package that has been carried over from
steaming
multiple
pile.
Days. That's right, a big steaming pile of games. Warhammer Vermintide, as well as the Dwarf Helmet DLC, thanks to Chance, Pixel Puzzles 2, Birds, thanks to Lisa, Caesar 4, thanks to Alisa also, Painter's Guild, thanks to Matthew Bach, Resident Evil 5 Gold Edition, thanks to Tanner, and today I'm adding, because I want to just throw in a physical prize, the complete series of Firefly on DVD.
Whoa. Man, I don't.
Wow.
All of
this
I don't.
This is yours.
Has there ever been a? I don't think the prize pool's ever been this big.
I don't think it has either.
Yeah, this is pretty exactly. intense.
Choose wisely.
Very wisely,
well,
indeed.
Now I'm nervous.
I know you should.
Good.
Be.
That's what
Good,
we want.
You should be. You should be nervous.
Yeah.
Before Scott and Brian can start, I'm going to give you the topic, and then they can start thinking about it. Now, last week, I went to a Colorado meetup. Here with Nicole and Mark. They set it up and a bunch of great Colorado tadpoolers. We went to an arcade and I noticed there are a lot of variations of Pac-Man, a lot of different games that all kind of sprung from the Pac-Man loins, I should say, or sprung from the Pac-Man origin.
From the loins of Pac-Man.
It wasn't until Miss Pac-Man came along and then, oh, wait.
Aside from Pac-Man, how many of these Pac-Man games can you name? And you guys start thinking about it. I'm going to ask Hagenator who he thinks is going to win this Babel Royale.
I'm going to go with Scott.
Yeah.
So learn from the past couple Babel Royales and say Scott's got this.
That's right.
Whatever.
Let's see, man.
So, hey.
Yeah, hey.
Yes. Right.
Uh-huh.
I do have a question though.
Yes.
So, are we listed in the Pac-Man proper or are we going with Pac-Man clones as well? Like, does it have to be like the official Pac-Man? Does that make sense? Official
yes.
Pac-Man series?
Okay, so clarification. I'm glad you asked. So only arcade games, first of all. I didn't make that clear, but only arcade games are included in this. And re-releases of the original Pac-Man don't count.
Oh, okay.
Because that's just Pac-Man.
That's just Pac-Man. Yeah, right. Even if it's a... So you don't... But so like Atari 2600 Pac-Man does not count, even though it's shitty and totally different.
Was that released in an arcade?
Well, that's a good point.
That released in an arcade?
No, no, no. You're right. You're right. You're right. Because what I'm saying is, I can go right now and buy like I can go buy a 3DS or a GBA version of Pac-Man that is arcade perfect. But you are saying it has to be in the arcade, like physically in the arcade, right? Brian's. I think I'm cutting out on him. I think I'm delayed. Am I delayed, Brian?
Yeah. Like, right. Exactly. Arcade releases. Oh yeah, you've gotten totally laggy. Did you? Was that happen for you too? Didn't it, Dunaway? Like he had that.
It got really bad.
This happens sometimes when we do a call switch
Skype
over.
Skype is goofy.
I think we're all caught up now. Anyway.
And yes. A better example of that would be the Pac-Man Championship Edition, which was released in arcades. It was just Pac-Man re-released. Do that one.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I would not accept that one.
All right.
So. Hagernator picked Scott to go to win, so that means Scott goes first.
Oh, I thought okay. Baby Pac-Man.
Baby Pac-Man released in 1982. Yes.
Yeah, I remember that one.
That was dumb.
It was super dumb. It was part pinball machine, part video game. It was really dumb.
I'm going in order of how I remember them being released because I was a big Pac-Kid back in the day. So I went with Pac-Man. Then I remember Ms. Pac-Man coming out.
All right.
That's right. The next year, 1981, Ms. Right. Pac-Man.
All right. I'm going to say next up would be Pac-Man World. Oh, no, wait. Sorry, that's not how it's... back that up. Back that truck up.
Beep.
Oh, shit. Hold on a second. Oh,
pachydermy.
Hold on. Oh my gosh, how can I not remember this? I played the shit out of it.
Maybe.
Pac-Land?
Pac-Land. Thank goodness. Woo! Yes. Pac-Land released in 1984.
Oh my gosh.
I'm glad you didn't try and shoehorn the word world in there at all.
It was a side-scrolling deal, and I loved it, but oh my gosh, my brain went dead for half a hot second there. All right, sorry. Go ahead there, Dunaway.
Super Pac-Man, when he was all huge, and he was like, he'd take up half the screen and go, walk up, walk up, walk up, walk up.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, I think that was the one. That was one of the ones I played there, where you've got the gates, so you got to eat the keys, and it opens the gates. But if you're a Super Pac-Man, you just go right through the gates. That was also released in 1982.
Really?
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well done. That's gonna be hard. Hagenator's like, what did I do? Okay.
Well, you did fine. You did fine.
So far, so good.
I feel like the next one I'm going to ask is a technicality, but I don't know if Brian's going to support it.
Okay.
Because I know a bit of trivia here. My dad ran arcades in the 80s, okay? And we had a Japanese version of Pac-Man, but it had a different name. Does that count?
Right.
It's the same game inside.
No! A different name.
If the game is exactly the same.
Why don't you try it, Scott?
Okay.
Why don't you lock in that answer and find out what happens?
Then it does not count. If it's exactly the same game, then it's just an imported, renamed version of the same thing.
Okay.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. Pac-Man Championship Edition would not count. Same game, new name. No changes to the game.
All right. Well, for those wondering what the end of that trivia is, it was called Puckman when it was originally released. They changed it in America because kids like us would take the P and we would scrub out, we would grind out with a knife or something the front bubble
of
the P,
yeah,
and turn it into F man, it would just be FUC man. So they changed it. All right. This is getting harder. This is getting a lot harder. I wish Brian would have had to start first.
Oh, you should have picked me.
Hold on a second. Did you do Super Pac-Man? That's where you got all big and it was like...
Oh, no. Did I? I can't remember.
Oh, shit. I think you did.
You should try. Find out what happens.
I mean, actually, I feel like I'm running out of options here.
Pew, 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 pew.
Hold on. Hang on a second. I gotta get this.
Be here Wednesday when we give away the entirety of Steam.
I'm gonna wing this. I'm gonna wing this because I swear there was one made and it just wasn't popular. So,
all right.
Hagenator, I promise I'm trying to help you win here, but my answer is, was there a Mr. and Mrs. Pac-Man game in the arcade? Where they got together.
Wasn't there something?
Mr. and Mrs.
At least there wasn't one that was called that.
Are you wait, are you sure?
Was that Super Pac-Man? Because isn't that what they did in Super Pac-Man? Or was that other one?
There was nothing called Mr. and Mrs. Pac-Man. There might have been games that featured both regular Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man. But
hold on, I gotta look this up.
I wanna say Super Pac. I wanna say Super Pac-Man did that.
No, here it is. I found it. Bally Midway, May 1st, 1982. Mr. and Mrs. Oh, it's a pinball machine. Frick! Frick!
Yeah, I think that counts.
That's an arcade.
Does a pinball machine count?
It is an arcade game. It wasn't listed on the wiki page for list of Pac-Man video games, but I don't think I did specifically say video games. I think I just said arcade games.
Oh,
I will allow it. I'm going to allow it.
I'm going to allow
that crap.
I will allow it.
Okay, but I'm going to say at my arcade, they had a Nintendo in there and
I'm so not doing that. I totally will allow Mr. and Mrs. Pac-Man. It's an arcade game, technically correct.
Okay.
And I didn't see video games, so
okay. So that's probably why Baby Pac-Man ended up being a hybrid video game and pinball machine. Is because where the consummation happened in the pinball machine. Now he's half and half. What?
Wait, I got one more in the barrel.
Okay.
All right.
Pac-Man Jr.
What? There's no Pac-Man Jr.
Yes, there was. I remember it in my mind right now. I'm looking at it. I can see the side of the stupid game.
Here's the deal, Brian. I'm sorry. It was not called Pac-Man Jr.
What was it called?
What's Junior called it?
Pac-Man. Junior Pac-Man!
Junior. Oh, my God. You're going to allow a pinball. He's going to allow a pinball. And he's going to call me on saying... Pac-Man Jr.
Yes, because a pinball machine is an arcade machine, so it's accurately defined.
Oh, I've got to go. Bye.
Listen, if Scott, if you would have said Mrs. Pac-Man, I wouldn't have allowed it because it's Ms. Pac-Man.
Right. It has to be Ms.
So I'm being a stickler.
Yeah. All right. This is good.
Right.
Oh my gosh, Hagenator, we pulled it out in the end, buddy. You're going to get all this stuff.
So happy for you.
Congratulations.
Winning.
Yeah, you're the winner.
You're a winner.
To the ropes.
Yeah, Dunaway's gonna go to town on us next time. Congratulations.
I'm gonna go see what Tom Merritt says.
Yeah, that's a great idea. All you gotta do is send an email to Brian. It's at coverville@gmail.com and he will send you all of your winnings. Congratulations to you, Dunaway. Well done.
You guys want to hear the
what's the other ones? What else you got?
All right, Pac-Man Plus, neither of you said.
Oh.
Pac-Man Professor Plus. Pac-Man, also released in 1983. Pac and Pal.
Pac and Pal? What the hell is
Pac
that?
And Pal.
I don't know Pac and Pal. What the crap is that?
Yeah.
Pac-Mania. I remember Pac-Mania.
Oh, Pac-Mania. I thought that was... I didn't think that was arcade. I thought that was just on the console.
So
was that
did
it? These all are released in the arcade.
I thought Pac-Man, that was like Xbox. Wasn't that Xbox? Or is that what...
It might have been released on the Xbox as well, but it was... yeah. Pac-Man Arrangement, which is the one that had like the Lego blocks... For dividers.
Oh, right. Yeah. Kind of a Tetris thing, sort of.
More of a Tetris-looking thing. Pac-Man VR, which I now wish I would have seen. Pac-Man Battle Royale, which is your four-player all simultaneous
Pac-Man. which was the most popular at the time.
Yeah, right? 100 Pac-Man enter, only one leaves. Yeah.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. Pac-Man Chomp Mania in 2013. And finally, we saw this in Vegas. I'm including it, even though it really is just the same game, only larger, World's Largest Pac-Man.
So we would have counted that one.
Which is that ball size. Yeah, I'm glad now that you said that, because that would not have fit within my rules about it being a different game. It's the same exact game as regular Pac-Man.
It looks like Pac-Man.
Well, if I'd have known we could have done that, I would have said mini arcade Pac-Man, because I used to take my little mini arcade Pac-Man into the arcade.
No, you didn't.
Tabletop Pac-Man.
Somebody would kick your butt if you walked in there with a little tiny Pac-Man game. Nobody would have. That's not cool
at
all.
Shut up. My mom just dropped me off at the mall and I got no quarters. This is the best I could do.
All right, fine. You lose. Bye. All right. Hey, so here's the deal. Pac-Man Pal, I think, was only... It doesn't matter because it's still arcade, but it looks like that's why I don't recognize it. It looks like I never made it here. It's a Japanese arcade-only deal.
Oh, really? Okay. Pac-Man Pal?
Best I can tell, yeah. It looks like it's... Oh, wow. You could shoot stuff?
It sounds like a convenience store you'd find in, like, rural Mississippi or something.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over to the Pac-Man Pal.
Yeah, totally. Look at this chat room. Look at this art. See, and it looks like he could fire things. He could throw little Pac-Man. Yeah. And little ghosts.
It also looks like it's got the keys and locks. Oh, like the whole... Oh, you know, this is very much like...
Like Lock and Chase?
Like Super Pac-Man. Like where it's got the...
The
areas that are blocked off with walls. Yeah. And when you're Super, you can go through those walls. But...
Wow.
Very interesting. Yeah, this looks like...
Never heard
of it. I might have to see if I've got this on my RetroPie and see if I can play it.
That thing is new to me, I can tell you that. Well, all right. That was great. I'm glad we finally got rid of that prize pile. Jeez.
I am Jesus. Too. Yes.
The thing was starting to stink, starting to smell bad. All right. Well, what do you got to do but this?
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by a brand new episode of Soundography featuring a Patreon paid for episode. Priscilla paid us to listen to The Interrupters for a week, and Hammond and I really dug it. Mm. It's some straight ahead ska. It's a ska band that barely uses any horns, which is one of the things that I feel like is usually an integral part of ska, but no, they don't, and it's fine. I'm totally fine with it. The Interrupters, a California ska band that Ham and I check out on the latest episode of Soundography at soundography.com.
Sounds great. Check it out, you
really
guys.
Good stuff.
Never heard of them. The Disruptors.
Yeah, I hadn't either until this, and was like, oh, dude, these guys are fantastic.
That's all I think of when I hear you say ska.
some Mighty Mighty Boss tones.
Yeah, that's all I think of. I know that's not right, but there's plenty to like.
And sure.
Wasn't technically, No Doubt was technically ska for a while.
No Doubt was very much ska, especially in those first couple albums.
Yeah. When they went kind of
Madness, of course. General Public.
I know what you're thinking. That's when they started not being ska.
Yeah, that was very not ska. That was a little bit just pop ballad.
I do think that she's an alien because she shouldn't look so pretty at my age.
No kidding, right?
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on there. And she doesn't appear to have a ton of work, you know, like we
can
get done.
No, oh, she looks amazing.
I have a great recommendal. I guess I should save it for Wednesday, but let's just say Martin Short does the most amazing man with plastic surgery impression you've ever seen. It is the funniest freaking thing
really?
I've ever seen. Oh my gosh, dude. I was dying. I watched that Steve Martin really? Short special on Netflix, and it was funny and it was good, and it was kind of an old timey sort of approach to entertainment. I kind of like that. It's very vaudeville and interesting. But at one point Martin Short does this impression of a man with plastic surgery, and I had to pause it. I was laughing so hard. It is so
really okay. I might have to check that out.
So freaking funny. All right, let's get to this news here.
Well done.
A man found naked with a bunch of duck butter or whatever you call it.
Chamois butter.
Chamois butter. Yeah, duck butter's different. Although in the end, anyway, man found naked, partially shaved after breaking into
end.
What?
In the end.
Yeah,
in
the end. Get it in the end.
That in there.
Yeah, just sneak it in the end. Anyway, broke into a Boulder barbershop. A local story, Brian. A local story for you. He was naked and partially shaved and arrested Friday morning after police say broke into this Boulder barbershop, took off all of his clothes and tried to give himself a haircut and then flooded the room. Oh, boy, they buried the headline there. Flooded the room.
Right.
Jeffrey Palmer, age 30, wrapped in plastic, was arrested on suspicion of second-degree burglary. He burgled it. felony criminal mischief and second-degree criminal tampering. According to the police report, officers were sent to the Great Clips in Boulder at 2:30 a.m. Oh, my Lord.
I think I would. I've been to that Great Clips before I started shaving my head. I think if it's the one on Arapahoe and Foothills Drive, then I've been to that Great Clips.
It might be. Well, remind me, Boulder is the kind of they're a bunch of hippies, right?
It's right. It's funny. It's the health food and both health food and marijuana capitals of Colorado, like right. at least until recreational marijuana was allowed. Boulder was like where you'd go to smoke pot, but it was also where you'd go to eat a gluten-free hummus kale milkshake or something.
They got a bunch of Whole Foods and all that kind of crap there,
all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, it's Colorado Springs where you get ultra conservatives, right?
That's right. Yep, exactly. Okay. The other side of Colorado. Like, it's basically Denver sits in the middle between Boulder and Colorado Springs, and both geographically and mentally or socially.
Now, I'd like to just point out, I just did a thing. I didn't do it on purpose, but I realized after I just did a thing that's kind of an experiment. There are people who heard me call the people of Boulder hippies who went, yeah. And then those same people, when I said Colorado Springs is full of conservatives, they went, what are you trying to say? Okay.
Really?
And then there are other people who heard me say hippies and went, yeah. And then heard me say conservatives and went, totally. You understand what I'm saying? Like, they're hearing one half and going, yeah, I agree. And the other half and going, hey, hold on a minute.
Wait, yeah, that's your subjectifying or something. That's not a word. But
no,
but
I like it. Subjectifying is pretty good.
Subjectifying.
Yeah. I guess it's object. No, it wouldn't be that. It would be, what am I doing? I'm generalizing.
Generalizing. Yep.
There you go. I like a good general. Anyway.
It's hilarious. This guy breaks in at 2:30 in the morning into a Great Clips.
Mm-hmm.
And then takes off all his clothes, tries to give himself a haircut. It doesn't even explain how he flooded the room. Like, did he just turn on all the...
They don't get into that. They don't get into it. It really annoys me because that's...
I've nipped a lot of hair on the floor. I can't find the broom.
It's a buried lead. Hold on. Let's see. It really is. Did I miss this part? There's an extended story over at dailycamera.com. He seemed to be under the influence of alcohol. They had a stun gun out because he was at first kind of resistant. Oh, here we go. Police found that Palmer had turned on one of the sinks in one of the stations, and the water was now flooding the business. It was flooding that business. With up to two inches of water in some places. They also noticed that Palmer had shaved parts of his head and found the hair inside the business. Well, yeah. Where else would you find it? Palmer remains at the Boulder County Jail. He awaits a setting of bond on Friday. He has previous convictions for theft, felony, menacing, and disorderly conduct in Boulder. And he's completely shorn in his mugshot.
Yeah. I wonder if they finished, like, if he had, like, patchy haircut, wonder if they let him kind of clean himself up for the mugshot.
Probably. Said,
we're going to, like, you got some tuft sticking out here. We're going to kind of trim that up and kind of even it on the sideburns. You need to, like, look at a mirror and level those sideburns out, dude.
Mm-hmm. That tracks. I think that's right.
Yeah.
Science. I got some science for you. Get ready for this one.
The good science.
Well, good. Yes. This one's a good one because we all wonder at one point or another how many farts are on a plane at a given time. Well, now we know. Someone has done the math.
All of them.
Yeah. All of them and a lot of it. They've done the math for British Airways, Qantas, and Ryanair Airlines. Those are flights. This is mostly European stuff. But they want to know how much fart is on your plane. What is the percentage? It also doesn't help, they say at the top of this, that you fart more when the cabin pressure drops. I didn't know that. Is that true? I guess so.
I didn't know that, no.
The plane's cabin pressure drops.
But it makes sense.
So does yours, right? I guess.
Jacob, pushes it out, yeah.
Jacob Rosenberg, a clinical professor at the University of Copenhagen. Well, he's probably stoned right now. Made the discovery after noticing that his stomach had bloated on a long-haul flight to New Zealand for a band meeting. After clocking that his empty water bottle had expanded during the flight, he grumbled when it came back down. He realized the same could apply to his stomach. He told the BBC the pressure drops and the air must expand into more space. He says the stomach can expand up to 30%, or as they wrote, percent, with a space between somehow.
Percent. So this is like Newton having an apple drop on his head and then saying, wait a minute, there must be gravity.
He went, oh, now hold on. And he made
I just discovered?
He made the next great discovery in our lifetimes.
That's right. I love those myths. You know, those like, oh, sure, yeah, Ben Franklin was flying a kite in a lightning storm with a key on his string. And that's how he discovered electricity. And
sure.
Same with Newton and an apple dropping on his head.
Yeah. Then this guy, sure. Jacob Rosenberg.
Fake news.
with a fart in his shorts. It says right here, the average person lets out 0.5 and 1.5 liters of fart a day. So they worked out how much that would be per hour and with a range of flights, then added 30% for the extra volume that Professor Rosenberg says would happen when cabin pressure drops. So here's what you got. When the times that number by, let's see, we've then times that number by the maximum number of passengers that can be seated on a plane, and have the number given the fact that the ratio of fresh to recycled air in a plane is about 50-50%.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, I know. That is enough to make me not want to ever fly again. That's awful.
Interesting. So that's what you do. You basically say, all right, how much does the average person fart every day? Okay, if they spend an hour on a flight, then typically, on average, they'd fart this much on the plane.
Yep.
And then multiply that times the number of people on a plane. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
It's horrible.
It's horrible and fascinating at the same time.
It's a nightmare. He says, obviously, some of the fartiest planes on the longer hauls are giant double-decker planes, like the big overseas ones.
As opposed to the upper-decker planes.
Exactly. He says, British Airways uses Airbus 380, which seats 525. That's huge. That goes from London to Singapore, a journey that takes 12 hours and 50 minutes. 525 seats. That's the kind of plane you don't want to go down. You know what I mean?
No kidding.
I mean, you don't want any plane to go down.
But. Yeah, I was going to say, any plane you don't want to go down, but...
It's 500,000
people.
But
I mean, you can't just say, well, that's got more people, so more farts, but it's also got more air in the plane.
That's true.
Because there's more seating room, so it's two decks of seats.
So what they said was, let's see, if you times... They do all the math here. Hold on. Okay. For a 17-hour flight on a Boeing 787-9 Dreamliner that takes 236 passengers, 217 liters of farts accumulate in the air. If you half that because of air filtering, that's 108.5 liters still that you consumed or were in the midst of from that 17-hour flight. Ugh. That's a lot. I don't want to
That is a lot.
Think about this ever again. This is a terrible
now,
day.
Methane burns. Is there some way that they could like hook up some sort of tube system with the seats, airplane seats, and like use that to compensate for some of the gas, like the fuel that they use, right?
Oh, like, hey,
here
like
on
this.
Spirit Airlines, yeah. we use 3/4 less gas because we are actually flying on your farts.
I love that. I love it. The lady could stand up front and go, "Your exits are meh, meh, meh," and then she could add. And don't forget, if you got to let one off, do it in your chair because this helps fuel our plane. Exactly. And when we're over the Atlantic,
we're not going to make it to Vegas unless you start farting.
Complimentary beans for everybody. All right. Anyway, that's that story. Sesame Street's all pissed because did you see the Happy Time Murders?
Trailer, I did.
Did you see the red ribbon one?
I
or the...
did. They showed that before Deadpool.
Oh my lord. Like,
yeah.
The last 30 seconds or so? Yes. What's going on, man?
It's hilarious. And man, I hope you didn't see Deadpool with your parents or your your kids, because you're like, okay, I don't want to have to explain that to mom.
Yeah. You got your Melissa McCarthy in there. Like, she likes to do these kind of raunchy deals anyway, once in a while. And then she's working with this blue puppet guy who is a complete pervo at the end of this thing. Anyway, it's directed by one of Jim Henson's sons, which adds a little extra controversy to this.
I didn't know that. That's funny.
Yeah. Sesame Street and the Sesame Workshop says they are angry because the trailer is incredibly crude. They're not trying to block the movie. They're not trying to block its promotion. They're trying to have them stop using the term, the tagline, "No Sesame, All Street" from the promotional material.
Right. And that's normally the only connection to Sesame Street.
Yeah,
it's not like you see any characters from Sesame Street. Oscar's not hanging out, you know, with a prostitute or anything.
No, but you know, part of what makes this funny to people is that it goes so hard against the traditional what they know about puppets and Muppets. So yes, it's not, you know, you're not going to see Big Bird show up in the middle of this thing, and there's not going to be any actual character infringements, but it's clearly, you know, it's like they're making a nod at the 50 years of Muppet entertainment by turning it on its head and making it raunchy. I mean, that's the whole idea of the movie. Or right, why else would this exist? If let's say Muppets didn't exist, and we suddenly had a thing about a blue puppet guy going on the street with his cop thing, and it was this raunchy thing, it wouldn't work. It straight up doesn't work. Because
it only works because all we've ever seen, with one exception, and it was the exception that I thought was what the trailer was for, right? I thought, oh, are they making an Avenue Q film?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because Avenue Q did this whole thing years ago.
Yeah, it was a street thing. And
a Broadway play, yeah.
Yeah. So instead, they're going to go ahead with this thing. I think I side with Sesame on this. Because if you're going to use that term, then, like, do it on your own. How do I say this? Be raunchy and funny on your own merits. Don't drag Sesame Street into this. So
I don't know. I kind of agree with them.
I kind of agree with them on this. But anyway, what do you think?
I feel like it's not used in a way that anybody's going to get confused and think that Sesame Street has anything to do with it. You know, it's not disambiguation or misrepresentation or whatever the phrase is. Like when there's lawsuits like this, it's because, well, that name is awfully close to ours. We do a similar business. We just don't want people to get confused. There's not going to be any confusion in the marketplace between Happy Time Murders and Sesame Street.
Right.
So I don't feel like anyone's looking at this and saying, wow, I can't believe Sesame Street is involved with this, because it says all Sesame and no street, or all no Sesame, all street in the commercial.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't feel like it's, I think that the threads connecting them are loose at best.
Right. The additional stuff of it being one of Henson's sons directing, and people who are working on the movie have also worked in the Henson Workshop and also on the Sesame stuff.
Sure.
So we got professional puppet makers who've also...
So like, there's a little more, but
I mean, you're right. And I don't think they're going to win this suit, by the way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it will only serve to have people go, oh, what's this about? And they're going to go...
Right. This is playing right into Happy Time Murder's plans, right? Yeah. Like, it's all publicity is good publicity, right? So, like, they're getting so much attention from this that it's helping the film for sure.
Yeah, it's Brian Henson, who Jeannie reminds me did the Muppet Christmas Carol, which is my favorite Muppet movie. I love that one. So, you know, it's a little, it's raunchy or whatever. I guess what I'm saying is I understand why Sesame Workshop feels this way, or Sesame Productions or whatever they're called. I understand why they feel this way. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win this suit. Probably going to just drive more traffic to this movie. But I get you, man. I get you.
Mm-hmm. Icarus says, what if they advertised it as all cover, no vill?
Oh.
Well, I'd be fine with that because it would bring attention to the show. Sesame Street doesn't need any publicity. People are familiar with Sesame Street.
Yeah.
But if they advertised it like that, people would be like, what, cover vill? What's that? I'll have to look that up online. Oh, look at this. I'll start listening to this show.
All film, no sack.
Right, exactly.
All see? Morning, yeah. No stream. What else works? All
frog, no pants.
No pants. It's Brian's biker plan from here on out. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, major spoilers. We're going to talk to Steven, see what's going on in the world. We may actually have some spoilers there in that conversation. Mm. So I just want to warn people, it's going to be a solo conversation, and he wants to talk about some of the
connections. It's just going to be him talking?
Well, you'll talk too, probably, right?
Well, not if it's a solo. Like, if he's just going to be doing this solo, then what are we here for, right? Like, what do we need?
No, Han Solo.
Oh, gotcha. Come on now.
Han Solo. He wants to talk about Scott. Solo.
I'm making a dad joke.
It's pretty good, Dad. It's pretty good. All right, so we'll be back with that in a minute. No Trek nerd today because, A, there's nothing going on in Star Trek, and, B, Daryl, holidays for Daryl, he disappears from the planet. He doesn't talk to anyone during holidays. So anyway, that's all coming up next, but before that, Brian brought some music, and he'll play it now.
Yes, sir. I have a request for an indie in the middle. This is great. It's sent in by William Williams. Love that name. He says, "Hello, Mr. Show with Scott and Brian. May 28th is my birthday. And as always, I'll be recovering from Phoenix Comic Con as my birthday weekend bash. I would love to hear Necromance and Dancin' by my favorite band and a local favorite to us here in Phoenix called Bear Ghost. The band is given permission to play the song, and it would mean so much to me and them since they are fans of TMS as well." Signed, William. Well, how could I not, William? That's awesome. And we're happy to do this. This definitely has a kind of a new punk kind of feel to it. This is from their album Blaster Piece, which came out in 2016. Here is Bear Ghost and Necromancin Dancin'.
Thank you. remember, when the clock strikes 12, you must be home by then. For should you fail to be in bed, you'll be in rags again. Remember, remember, remember.
Lots of crafty bunch of boxes.
The Morning Stream. You're not immortal. I know your secrets, Phantom.
All right, we're back. We're back. Those guys are great. I like them a lot.
They're really good. Really, really good. Yeah.
And they listen to us. That's cool.
They do. Yeah.
That's what they say anyway, huh?
Yeah. Very like Tim Burton, Danny Elfman inspired Panic at the Disco a little bit, but definitely a unique sound to them. Yeah. Totally dig that. Bear Ghost and Necromancin' Dancin'.
I was getting into it. I want to watch a, I don't know. I want to have Halloween. That's what I want.
Right? Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yes.
I tell you what. All right. It's Steven time, or it will be, as soon as we can get him in here and see what he's doing with his life. Here's his theme.
Steven.
Hello, Steven. How are you?
Hello, Scott and Brian.
How's it going, man? How was your Memorial Day? Are you remembering things today, or what's your plan there? What are you
doing? I always remember things. I always remember the soldiers that served served our country and have fallen.
That's right. Yeah. And it's also a good time to just kind of, I don't know, think about all the, like, I'm going to go see my dad's grave later and, you know, stuff like that. It's always good to remember those who have passed.
Yep.
Well, you're not past. You're here. You're the present. And we're going to talk to you about cool stuff. And that cool stuff includes a little bit of talk about Solo, the Han Solo story, which, by the way, by Star Wars standards, tanked last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the Han Solo movie, I thought it was a fine heist movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It only brought in a little over $100 million in the box office between Friday and Sunday.
Yeah,
they haven't counted, of course, today's box office, but for a movie that's had $250 million to $300 million budget, that is pretty not good.
The place it really took a dump was China. Only 10 million over there, and that's bad internationally. But the it only did half of the opening weekend Deadpool 2 did.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy. So a lot of people are crying Star Wars fatigue, it's too much too often, there's two movies in 6 months, blah blah blah. There may be an argument for that, but I'm gonna make this argument. I think we're having blockbuster fatigue. Because you just literally went, Avengers Infinity War, Deadpool 2, Solo, they're just coming so fast.
Yeah.
And I think people are just like, all right, calm down. I actually have things to do. I can't just be at the movies every day.
If it were me, I would say it's more bad press. And I know you guys were just talking earlier about how no press is bad press. But I think that the moment that they fired two directors and brought Ron Howard on and they said extensive reshoots, people were like, oh, well, this is just going to be a poop show. I'm going to distance myself from this as far as I can.
Mm.
And, you know, save for just a few scenes and one location, you really can't tell where the reshoots were in this.
Mm.
And I thought it was fine. Like I said, in a tweet that I sent out, it's a very fine heist movie. It kind of brushes up against the Star Wars universe. I mean, obviously you've got Han Solo and Chewbacca in there. But it really didn't feel like a Star Wars movie. And that's probably because you don't have any of the regular actors in there as some of these roles. Mm. So that may be the main reason. But I really think the main reason is because of bad press.
Mm. Well, screw the stupid press. Jerks.
Yeah, now, the only other thing I'll say about Solo, and this is not a spoiler, but there is a thing that happens in the third act that had Justin Robert Young really, really upset.
Oh, is this all his ranting on Twitter that he was doing? Okay.
Yes, 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 and yes. Now he may come on.
Yeah,
he may come on tomorrow and talk about it, unless, of course, the devil's going to show up.
Well, you never know.
No, I think we've got jury tomorrow. I don't think. Okay.
We're going to pad that out. You know, if the devil comes back, we can't have the devil back every day. Plus, he's got stuff in Georgia to take care of. Everything's fine.
Yes,
it's better the devil we know than the devil we don't.
Right.
But instead of talking about that one thing in the Solo movie, I thought we could talk a little bit about Star Wars canon.
Okay.
And one character in one character specifically, Saw Gerrera, which we talked about a couple of years ago when Rogue One comes out, because in Rogue One, Saw Gerrera was this guy that shows up and everyone's like, we got to go find Saw Gerrera. He's going to be the key to putting this all together. And there's this big search. And we had what's his name come out?
What's his name? Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, I'm good.
Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah. Yes, Forrest Whitaker comes out, and everyone's like, ah, oh, Forrest Whitaker is Saw Gerrera. And they're like, what the heck is Saw Gerrera? Mm-hmm. Well, people who watch Star Wars The Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels totally know everything about Saw Gerrera's story. So Rogue One becomes the end of Saw Gerrera's story. So we have, in the past, before 2014, we had multiple types of canon in the Star Wars universe. We had G-canon, which was the George Lucas canon, stuff that appeared only in the movies and stuff that was in George Lucas's notes. That would be considered, you know, like the top level stuff. Right. That stuff will never be disavowed.
Yeah. Right.
Then you had the T canon, which was television canon, which included the Clone Wars and the Star Wars live action TV series.
They really call it T canon. Is that the name?
Television canon. That's what it was called. Then you had the C canon, which was continuity canon, which had things that may have happened in the video games, the storylines in the video games, the non-theatrical films, the games, and some of the other stuff that came out, the cartoons. You had secondary canon, which came from like the Marvel comics. Mm. And then you had in canon or non-canon, things that would be like deleted scenes or maybe that stuff that Lucasfilm would like to disavow, like the Star Wars Christmas special. So we had all these different levels of stuff. So if you ever said, oh, hey, is stuff in the Clone Wars, is that part of the movie stuff? And what's his name? Lee, or Chi, or whatever his name is, who was in charge of all the canon, would say sometimes yes, sometimes no. But then in 2014, Leland Chi is his name, Lucasfilm decided that, you know what, we're doing away with all of these different types of canon, and there's only one canon. It's Star Wars canon. Mm-hmm. And the Star Wars canon is going to be everything in the movies, everything in the Clone Wars television series and the Star Wars Rebels television series, as well as a standalone Dark Horse comic arc called Star Wars Darth Maul, Son of Dothamir. All of that stuff is like the main canon. Mm. Everything else gets shifted off into what's called the Legends line.
Okay.
So all that stuff that people love from the books and the comic books, there may be some great stories there,
right?
But all that stuff has been shifted aside, and then if they want to bring in Thrawn or whoever and bring these characters in, they can.
Yeah.
And so with Rogue One, Saw Gerrera becomes this important key to what Lucas is saying, is, hey, there's so much going on in the Clone Wars and in Star Wars Rebels, because in the Clone Wars, Saw Gerrera is this young guy who's learning from Luke Skywalker, not from Luke Skywalker, from Obi-Wan and Anakin Skywalker. And then in Star Wars Rebels, he is this like heavy duty, like kill them all kind of rebel. And he's really setting up one of the factions of the Rebel Alliance and doing his own thing. And he comes at odds with people who want to go a different direction. And so his final story concludes in the Rogue One movie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And a lot of people were like, who's this guy? Why is he here?
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Right. And again, Lucas is really pushing those animated series as this is part of the storyline. There's a lot of rich and stuff that goes on in this storyline that we can't fit in those movies. But don't be surprised if someone like Saw Gerrera shows up and people are like, who's this guy? And then everyone who's been watching these animated shows know exactly what's going on with the greater storyline of this particular character.
Hmm.
Right.
Okay.
I think it is spoilery to say. You don't even know what I'm going to say, but you think it's going to be spoilery?
Well, what is it? Well, what are you going to say?
That a character that we see watching the pod races in Phantom Menace is referenced in Solo.
Oh, please that, let it be. But makes, let it but be makes the two, big appearance. The two-headed race caller. Let it be him. Or them,
what's
I guess.
Space from whose line is it anyway? Yeah. No, but someone who figures very prominently in the Clone Wars animated series referenced in Solo.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about this. I don't know what that is, though, or who that is, because I didn't watch the Clone Wars.
So for those people who are listening and who have seen Solo, maybe now you know exactly what I'm kind of dancing around this entire subject about, because the Saw Gerrera effect is totally going on in that moment in Solo
when you see it happen. It's not Saul Guerrero because he's, you know, not right. in that solo story.
Sure.
But there's another character that appears that the only way you know why that character is there is because you've seen Clone Wars and Rebels, because those are parts of continuity that Lucasfilm really, really wants you to pay attention to.
Is there a love interest in this movie?
Oh, yes, of course.
Is it the mm-hmm. Dragon Queen lady from... Yep. Okay, that's fine. I approve. But my
oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I'm going. No. I don't care about spoilers, but I'm going on. I don't know when I'm going. We're trying to figure out when we're going. We had no time this weekend. It was swamped.
It's worth checking out.
Yeah. Oh, well, I definitely plan on seeing it. I mean, it's Solo, for heaven's sakes. But I'm a little bummed out that it performed so poorly, because who knows what that means? I mean, that may mean nothing, because Disney's a never ending pit of cash, and they can just mm-hmm. do whatever they want to do. So if they, you know, my understanding is this movie seems like it has plenty of spinoff. Potential and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think any of that is hampered by its performance?
I don't know. I mean, we've seen Marvel change up some of its movie plans that it was for sure going forward with,
yeah.
And now some of those have dropped off the radar.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope to see, you know, let's see another movie where Solo gets involved with the Hutt clans and starts, you know, getting in trouble with that. I mean, we have never gotten to that part in any of the movies yet where we understand why he had to eject his spice cargo.
The cargo, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that can be in the second movie.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm like trying to be super careful now, but that's actually before the movie. That's kind of what I was thinking, the difference between the Solo Millennium Falcon and the Millennium Falcon that we've come to know mm-hmm. and love. I thought that area was the cargo.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, well, that, okay. So we're going to see when he loses Hutt's cargo, but no, we don't. So that's not it. So,
all right.
Don't worry, people.
Here's my thinking. I think I'm going to throw out a theory that may make some people mad, but I'm going to say it anyway. Is it possible that part of what made Star Wars so impactful to our culture internationally for so long is that there used to be huge swaths of time between entries? Mm-hmm. And is it possible that now that you get something every 6 months in this case, we just had Last Jedi and now this,
right,
and episode 9's right around the corner. Is it possible that because we're missing the swath of time, that this is too much of a thing that maybe isn't as amazing as we all thought it was because we're being overfed? Does that make sense? Like we really like this pizza, but if you eat 8 pizzas, you're gonna feel gross.
You're gonna be sick of pizza. You're not gonna want to eat pizza when it comes out,
right? And
you're talking about Star Wars,
yeah. Maybe. And you'll be reminded that Star Wars is, for all of its strengths and wonderfulness, is a pretty thin slice of pizza. I mean, it's not.
I like thin.
I do too. I do too. But if you had it every day, would you? Would you like it as much?
I have kids, and it seems like we do eat pizza every day. But here's the thing: you have to remember that even before the first movie came out, Star Wars comics were there. Star Wars has been around. If you wanted, and the books have been around after the movies came out, and we had TV specials, and we had, you know, these last two animated series basically ran from the end of episode 3 until just recently with Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars in our face. We've had Star Wars games, Star Wars RPG games. We've had Star Wars on merchandise everywhere. So we have been fed a steady stream of Star Wars.
Yeah, but we were being...
We just haven't been subjected to the PR campaign of Star Wars for all that time.
Right, but all of that stuff was just appetizers waiting for your main course, which took forever to get. And the main course was always so like, oh, it's been 25 years and here's the new thing. And then it's been another 10, 15 years. Oh, that's a new thing again. And like there was like these stretches of time, I think, made the heart grow fonder. And I think having it crammed in like this is possibly a mistake. I'm not saying it's not a mistake for everything. I think it's working with Marvel stuff brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Marvel end is, this is the model. You're killing it with that. Well done. Keep going. Don't stop. But the Star Wars side, I don't know if it fits as well. I don't know. These are just all farting in the wind. I don't know what I'm saying.
There's 18 months until we get episode 9. So now you've got time in between. That's why I was surprised they didn't release this, do a December release, and just keep it annually. Every winter we get something new Star Wars, and give us time in between to digest all this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they may have wanted to because of the anniversary of the Star Wars release.
Oh,
sure.
Okay. Well, see, yeah. Once again, other factors that don't actually benefit viewers other than, whatever hype machine.
Which circle back around to the scene in Solo that we're referencing and its ties to the animated series, which, I'm fine with because I watch the animated series and I love it. And I would say probably about a third of the Star Wars fans have seen those shows as well. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, this might be a good way to tie today's shows. And I think tomorrow's show when Justin shows up is he has a very different take on why that was a horrible thing to do in the movie.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should talk to him about that.
Yeah, and maybe you can talk about it unless you two are planning on doing a movie spoiler show.
No, not as far as I know, we're not.
No, yeah, I'd say that's a good idea. That gives us plenty of material. Although Scott should figure out a way to wedge in a quick viewing of Solo before Jury comes on tomorrow.
Well, to be honest, someone could just whisper it in Scott's ear after the show, and because it's not a spoiler that's going to ruin anything.
I don't worry about spoilers. I don't care. So you could tell me anything, and I'd say, I'd still see it. Okay. But yeah, no, that's fine. In fact, maybe I'll do that. At the end, sometime, Brian, just text me the thing, or Steven, or whoever.
Yeah.
We'll see, but I'm going to try to
wrap
see
up,
it. Yeah.
Wrap up Star Wars news. What do you think of a Boba Fett movie directed by James Mangold?
Not only directed by, written and directed by James Mangold. Now, you're home are going, wait a minute, who? I know that name. He did the Wolverine there, the Logan movie.
Yeah, the Logan movie.
Yeah, I think he's perfect for this. The news, the same day, we get news of James Mangold being director, writer, and creative head of a Boba Fett film. And in the same exact day, we find out that, I forgot his name. Brian, he's one of your favorite movie Trainspotting director, Danny Boyle.
Boyle, yes, right.
Danny Boyle's directing the 25th James Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Danny freaking Boyle doing a James Bond movie. Like, those are two of the weirdest things I've ever heard, both of these arrangements. But I really like James Mangold. I really like Logan a lot, and I think that he's perfect for it. I need some gritty pants. I'm not saying it'll be rated R. It won't be. But I think he's got the right tone. The biggest worry I always have with new Star Wars announcements is Disney and executives poking their heads in and going, we don't like this direction. We're firing these directors and bringing somebody else in. Like, I don't like that.
Right. So that wasn't, I don't know where Kennedy stands as far as a Disney executive, but it was really more Kathleen Kennedy, her and the directors that were having the problem, not higher Disney up execs that were having problems.
Oh. All right, well, Kathleen Kennedy, then. Maybe don't be so nervous around Star Wars stuff. Maybe let the creators create. Maybe don't be such a hang around the set going, what are you doing, what are you doing?
Yeah. Right.
Like, maybe let some of that stuff breathe a little bit. I haven't seen Solo yet, but maybe some of it's some of the parts people complain about are because of restrictions in that regard. Maybe you're just a little too picky. Let your Lego animator dudes who were there in the first place, maybe let them have their full vision. I understand a lot's on the table, a lot's at stake, but it's okay. Yeah, Infinity War made enough money to keep you all fed for years. So just, you'll be fine. Anyway, Boba Fett.
They do
Fett.
Have to continue to perform, so.
Now, this Boba Fett thing will be set before he falls into the giant sandy butthole.
Sarlacc pit?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. It'll be one of those where he's flying to the Sarlacc pit and it'll stop and he's like, I bet you're wondering how I got here. It started a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
That would be hilarious. Like a little freeze frame, like, I'm trying to think, like Ocean's 11 or
What's
something.
What's the one
like,
where he goes, yep, that's me, and the music plays? What is that?
Right, exactly. The Fall Guy or...
Every movie in the last 20 years.
I can't think. There's one very specifically.
Deadpool kind of does it in the most recent one. Yeah.
Thor does it a little bit.
You're wondering how I got here.
Yeah.
Well, it all started
when a galaxy far, far away.
It's a great idea. Boba Fett's day off. Brilliant, J. Calhoun. Brilliant. all right. Well, we don't know when that is, do we? Is that a long time from now?
No, it's. I mean, it's not going to happen in a year. They just announced it. So you've probably got two and a half years before we see it on the screen. So it'll definitely be after the next movie.
What's the next? Is it the next Star Wars story, though, after
it's
episode
the J.J. Abrams. It's the J.J. Abrams movie.
Right. But I mean, is this what I'm saying is this one going to be the follow up to that? Will it be our interstitial story like Rogue One, like Solo?
I would bet yes, because I don't think they've announced any other of the standalone Star Wars story movies yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have to be Boba Fett or the Ben Kenobi story.
Yeah. They should hurry up and do that Ben Kenobi one and get... Ewan McGregor has interest. He wants to do it.
Oh, yeah. He wants to do it. And he's probably about the right age now to do it.
Oh, it's perfect. He needs to be just a little older than he was in the old ones. That's perfect. Not quite so old as... I have not heard that name. It doesn't need to be that old yet. Just be... middle-aged Obi-Wan Kenobi with a rad story. I'm all in on that. And I like him. He was the best part of those prequels. He was great in those. So, it was a damn fine impression.
Anakin, you'll never find the most wretched...
It really was good, yeah.
All right, that's it. Steven, as always, a pleasure to hang out with you. Hope you have a great Memorial Day. And don't forget, majorspoilers.com is where he calls home and does rad stuff. Is there anything in particular people should be watching for this week?
No, just check out all the cool stuff that's coming out on the site and our podcasts and our video channel and our Twitch channel and all those kinds of cool things. Twitch is Major Spoilers. YouTube is Major Spoilers Video. And as you said, Scott, majorspoilers.com is the website.
Nice. Steven, take it easy. We'll talk to you later. Hey, Brian, did you notice someone in the chat room says they want to see a Greedo film? Hey, guys, it's Greedo. It's Greedo, not Guido.
Let's see a Greedo film.
I mean, when I was a
kid. Hey, going somewhere solo. Hey.
Hey.
I was supposed to bring you back to Jabba. He's missing you.
He's all Italian. Greedo is correct, not Guido.
I will say something too, and again, not a spoiler for me to say this, but this Solo contains something that makes it very much a Ron Howard. Like, there's something in Solo that you find in many, many Ron Howard films.
Oh, it's probably
that's
Clint.
All I'm gonna say.
It's probably Clint Howard. Right?
Say, Scott. That's all I'm gonna say.
That's not a spoiler. Clint Howard is in every one of his brother's movies. I assume he's in this. If he's not in this, then what the crap? In fact, if he is in this, it sounds like he is. Clint, that makes Clint one of the few who are both Star Trek and Star Wars connected. So,
oh right, yeah.
He was a little kid in that old TOS episode. He's a whatever he is in this. The only other example I can think of is J.J. Abrams, who directed both franchises. Right. Who else is there? It's nobody else. There's nobody else.
There isn't. No mains. I mean, there's probably like some extra dude in the background that was in both or something like that. But
it was Greg Grunberg in Star Trek. I don't remember seeing Greg Grunberg in Star Trek. I saw him in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Did I say both again? I probably did.
Both.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you have it. That's it. Got some emails real quick to get through, and I'm going to read these to you if you'd like to hear them. Ryan wrote in. His name is Ryan Socks, back when he was listening live in the chat room. He says, Scott and Brian, longtime listener, first time emailing into the show. I just wanted to take the time to respond to your recent talk about UPS on TMS, the two trucks backing up together and all that. I'm a driver for UPS, and we occasionally have to meet another driver nearby to exchange packages, and they're either loaded on the wrong trucks by mistakes, or we help each other out. Also, our trucks beep for everything. The hazard lights make sounds. If we leave our lights on, if we leave our lights running or don't use our handbrake, then there is a slightly more annoying sound. Ever have any other questions about UPS and how it operates? I'm happy to chime in, says Ryan.
Chime in.
Get it?
See, he beeps too because he's a UPS driver.
Yeah, only when he backs up. Here's another one from...
Before you get to that, Simon Pegg, both in Star Trek and Star Wars, because he's in the big suit, the guy on Jakku who buys the scrap from Rey.
Right. I forgot he was that.
Yeah.
You're totally right.
And apparently Grunberg has had multiple roles in Star Trek.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that's news to me. Well done, guys. Well done being in everything. Rome Wolf followed up with a similar point. He says, in a nutshell, back-to-back UPS trucks is indeed the transfer of packages. It is mainly for the one driver who has picked up an overnight package. and it is handled off, or handed is what he means, to the other driver who gets them to the airport. So a very specific use. He also works at UPS. Thank you, Rome. And final email got the subject line, "This is driving me crazy." This is from Bagheera74. He's probably in the chat today.
He is in the chat room. Yeah, we've been talking.
All right. Says, "You can like Chick-fil-A milkshakes if you like, but they are not made from ice cream. They are made from ice milk." Brian says the McDonald's shakes, but they are made from low-fat ice cream.
Yeah, I think there's some adjective missing from that sentence. Like, Brian says the McDonald's shakes suck, but they are made from low-fat ice cream, not ice.
Okay, so those are made from actual ice cream now. That's weird, because I had a McDonald's shake the other day, and it was terrible. Anyway, if you want to see a stark example, get an ice cream cone from McDonald's and then get one from Chick-fil-A. Tell me you still like Chick-fil-A ice cream better. Also, McDonald's doesn't put whipped cream on their shakes, or does. And that's true. Does, only on the large, though, because we got two sizes again the other day. Large had whipped cream, small did not.
Really? Okay, wow.
So they're like our buddies down there at Del Taco did the same deal. Says, "Now, I'm not suggesting people eat at McDonald's. It's garbage food, but it's funny that you like the cheap ice cream substitute. You decry the real soft serve ice cream, low fat may it be, at McDonald's. Do the cone test, and the truth will be evident. You're a crazy idiot fan, Bagheera74."
Wow.
I disagree wholeheartedly with this. I'm telling you right now, if I have a McDonald's strawberry shake and a strawberry shake from freaking Chick-fil-A, I am enjoying the Chick-fil-A one. Because the McDonald's one doesn't taste right. And I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. I know the difference. I can tell. So I don't know what they're both talking about.
They're both dairy. They're both, ice cream has more than 10% fat. Ice milk has 5% fat. Milk solids in ice cream. More sugar in ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find a good, there's a graphic that explains the difference between ice cream versus ice milk. But it's, just lower milk fat in ice milk.
That seems good. For me,
right?
Seems like something I want, you know.
Exactly.
I want one today. I might go do it. I'm just saying, you know.
That's right.
It's Memorial Day. We just started
Based on recommendations from my aunt and uncle. Halo Top ice cream, which is a protein based ice cream that doesn't contain. It's like dairy free. Let's see here. Trying to figure out the way, way lower calorie ice cream.
Halo Top is it's a brand?
It's a brand, Halo Top.
I haven't heard of this.
Let's see. 280 to 320 calories per pint of ice cream.
Oh, you're kidding. That's crazy. Oh yeah, look at this. There's a lot of flavors, too.
Yeah. It just is not necessarily dairy free. You can get dairy free, but
they have a whole bunch that say dairy free, and then they have some that are not.
And it's excellent. Yeah.
All right.
We're converts. We tried it last night. We're like, no, this is really good.
Lemon cake. Oh.
There you go.
Hold on a second. Let's find a location. Where can I buy these? What store?
Grocery store has them.
Do any of them have them?
Well, we got a King Supers, which is our just generic, not a Sprouts or a Whole Foods or anything like that. It's just a regular
here it is. Grocery store. Sam's Club, Walmart, Supercenter, Target. Oh, the Target's right down the road.
So it uses stevia instead of sugar. Oh, that's one of the big differences.
Wait, is that the stuff that Walter White would kill me with?
It is, yes. Great. Don't put that in your chamomile.
Yeesh.
Lydia.
Yeah.
Lydia, my dear Lydia.
All right. Yeah. Yes, I doxed those grocery stores, you guys. I put up on the screen their addresses. Those are public. I don't dox anybody.
All right.
That's it. If you want to send your own emails into the show, themorningstream@gmail.com is the place to do it, or you can just do it over at frogpants.com/TMS. There's a link right up top where we get all that from you. Hey, follow us on Twitter. Brian's at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson. The show is at Morning Stream, and you can find our Reddit page at frogpants.reddit.com. I am posting way more over there now, so that's a good, cool place to be. That's going to do it for us. Tomorrow, normal show. Justin and Bill should be back. He's done with the barf poops and should be back in full shape.
The barf poops.
He's doing much better, I understand. So we'll do all that and we'll get together then. Is there anything else? Nope, that's it. Brian, music.
Yeah, so Cade McLean wrote in and said, "Hello, Scott and Brian. I hope you're both having a lovely day. I learned about TMS from my lovely fiance, Matt. He's a huge nerd and has been a fan of TMS for a super long time. He even has an Obey Henry poster hung up in our apartment. Aww. Matt's birthday is May 27th, and I know he would nerd out like crazy if you played a song for him or gave him a shout out for his birthday on TMS. Can you cool cats do me a favor and use your magical podcast powers to make this happen? Thanks, guys. Signed, Katie M." Of course. Yes. Happy birthday, Matt, and congratulations on your upcoming nuptials. So Katie said any cover of a Queen song, Bohemian Rhapsody, is his favorite song ever. He loves classic rock, followed by indie rock. Be creative. Thanks, Brian. I had to look back. I've played, since I started keeping track, I've played 31 Queen covers as our final song on TMS.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's not a lot if you think 1,494 shows, but I didn't start keeping track of covers until maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So it's considerably less than that. Anyway, I found one that I haven't played before. And this one is different. And it really, really pairs nicely with the Indie in the Middle that we played earlier from Bear Ghost. This comes to us from the Venetia Fair, from their album. The Venetia Fair basically just does karaoke. I disagree with that sentiment. I think they really do turn this on its head and make a new transformation out of it. Came out in 2013. Here is the Venetia Fair and their cover of Bohemian Rhapsody.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Come on back now, you hear?
Is this a real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality. Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming.
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 Well, we need to see this Memorial Day if Donald Trump and bringing his Trump train...